Blog Talk Radio.
All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Elohim, the Negro's Elohim, the other true Elohim. So tonight, I want to first apologize about the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to figure out how to get some music on and how to sort out my microphone. And I figured it out. Hopefully this is coming through loud and clear. If not, I will try again. But all praises to the will of the Father. But tonight we want to discuss some things. First of all, where is Ish? Where is Ish? You know, I look around and, you know, I guess a year ago they were all up in the cut talking about, you know, so-and-so got to apologize about so-and-so's book and so-and-so got to apologize about, you know, these remarks, these anti-remarks, and all of a sudden, ghosts, crickets. And so I asked a question today, that question was, where is Ish? So I looked up, what's going on with Ish? And lo and behold, they're struggling right now. They are struggling. They have the highest per capita rate of COVID infections. Their mouths are shut. Our prophecies are coming to fruition. There's a lot of people who have seen our exaltation, seen our growth, and they're trying to come against it. And it's funny because that all types of people, even our own people, coming against us in such a way, in a manner that doesn't even make sense, that can be easily cut down. But by the grace of the Father, we don't need to cut them down. There's no reason to cut them down. They're being cut down themselves. They're just seeing the error in their ways. And, you know, we will say, yeah, you know, some of us say they don't see the error. Oh, believe you me, their spirit is showing them and telling them the error of their ways. That's why they try to go all in on this love thing. I mean, if they didn't see the error of their ways, they wouldn't be talking about love right now. Shoot, they'd be coming against us talking about you need to love Jesus and repent. And if you ain't repenting, we're going to come against you again with the sword. That's not happening. They are a bunch that is seemingly out of sorts within their own character. They're acting as if they don't have a clue about their own history, and they're acting like they can get the job done still. And ironically, if you look at how they have come full circle, as we are, you start to see that they are truly a foolish nation. I mean, they're a foolish nation to believe that Ish somehow going into their land, into a stolen land, is the land of promise. I mean, that's foolishness in and of itself. They're, you know, also seeing how they always want to create the narrative on any and everything, on any and everything. But shoot, we all know that. That ain't nothing new. This ain't going to be nothing new. This is just all the things that are happening today. This is all confirmation. I said it a few months ago, about 6 months ago, I said we are going to begin to see the confirmation of the Father. And they are going to begin to see the revelation of the Father. They have to be revealed. Everything happens to us first. So we were already got this revealing. We got the revealing early on. You know, we were told early on, y'all niggas don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all are crazy. You guys are African, yada, yada, yada. And they went on as business as usual. Now we already know, we know this. They're like, this isn't even hard for us anymore. You know, it's, you know, I'm watching, you know, these social media platforms where people are just, you know, coming with so much information. Now, some of it is off the top, you know, off the charts, you know, but at the end of the day, a lot of it within the sum makes sense. So we've come to this common sense approach to things, and the heathen and the Gentiles and the nations never wanted that common sense approach to be part of the ideology. They always wanted it to be, you know, something futuristic. You know, they wanted it to be beam me up, Scotty. They wanted us to always look forward in the future, never look in the past. And we did for a long time. We did. We looked in the future. We were like, yo, we, you know, there'll come a time where we'll have our freedom. There'll come a time where we can have this. We'll get this. We always were in the future. Well, all that changed, as we know, you know, basically, you know, seven years or so ago. And we stopped looking in the future as a individual and group, as a collective, and started dealing with our past. And as we dealt with our past, we start dealing with their past. And when we came across their past, they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. And shoot, their past is still coming out. You know, the atrocities that they've committed is just, it's an amazing, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. So now I'm, you know, the Father downloaded to me through the Spirit who these people were, because that was always my thing. I was always wanting to know, who are these people? Who are they? Because everywhere you look in the Bible, in their compilation, their pronouns are always they, them. That's why it's funny that they now want to always come up with, well, you know, they, them. They, them, those, you know, whatever. But he downloaded that to me, and he says the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European. Now, let's break that down for a second. Khazarian, you know, those are those that say they are but are not. That's where is Ish, right? You know, like, where is Waldo? Where is Ish? So that's the Ishes. Then you got the Germans. Now, why are the Germans? Because the Germans had lost two world wars, and still on top of the game, the top European nation, Germany, you know, from the barbarians, okay, the Germans. Then you got your Indo, which is your top Germanic Indians that look white, but they aren't white, so they say, right? And then you got the totality of them all, which is the Europeans. And now today you see, you know, the Khazarians had their turn on top, right? The Germans had their turn on top. And now the Indos have their turn on top. Who's the Indos? That's what the Maldives, right? They running around this country like they own this joint. They got Kamala in, and they running around like they own it, like they are the new white. Bringing their whole generational families over into, you know, a single family home, a four bedroom, you know, and all the jobs, all the corporate jobs, all the schools. Now, this isn't a go against them. This is just to prove that they also will have a time on top, the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European, because they too are European. That's why China is always upset about it, because they're like, we don't get to see ourselves on top. We never get to see ourselves on top, prophetically. Unlucky, too bad, so sad, right? Because they are all going to jockey for position at the end here, thinking that they're going to be on top. And it's funny, like when you look at their politics and their politicians as they're pandering to each other. You see, who do you see in the middle of it playing the field? You know, you see the Indo man. He playing the field right now, smiling, joking. He good, you know. He got the BRICS on his side. He got the West, the West of the UN on his side. He in the middle of both. He thinking that he cool right now. He thinking that, you know, he can do no wrong, that now he's about to step into some greatness. And, you know, they all have missed the plot, each and every one of them. You know, we could sit here all night and talk about how the foolish nation is trying to break down scriptures in a way that strictly benefits themselves still today, or we can really get into the meat and the potatoes of our own way. And I prefer to get into the meat and potatoes of our own way, how we're supposed to be. You know, we know the end game. The end game is Jeremiah 16:19. And just as, you know, just for reference, I run around, not run around, but I go around on social media and I troll, if you will. I troll a lot of people's posts. And all I do is I drop in there Jeremiah 16:19. I just put it out there. And in doing so, I'm manifesting it in my mind and my spirit. That's how I see I'm doing. I'm manifesting, you know, Jeremiah 16:19. And you know, I've been doing that now for almost a year. And look at, not to say that it's because of me. Who the hell am I? I'm nobody, but I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. Every day, every night, I'm dropping somewhere Jeremiah 16:19. I get people who want to pontificate on, oh, you're taking that out of context. And I don't go back and forth. I just ask the question, how so? How so? Because the days of them, days of these nations always trying to tell me, us, that I'm wrong is over. Now you have to, as we know, nothing new under the sun, you now have to prove what you're saying. And this is the hardest part of their revelation, their awakening. Their awakening is coming at such a price that they are unwilling to pay it. But they don't have to pay anyway. You know, like when you go to the store and you want something and you look at it and you go, well, golly, I don't want to pay that. Or better yet, you know, when you got to pay taxes and you go, golly, I don't want to pay that. But you know, you got to pay it because the man will come after you regardless. He'll make your life a living hell if you don't pay it. Tax you, take your, you know, take your, you know, put a hold on your checking account, on your bank accounts, you know, put liens on your homes, you know, call you, harass you, shake you down. This is what the Father's doing to them right now. He got liens on them. he got liens on their spirit right now. You know, he's dropping liens all over the place. A lien, you know, you know, if you don't know what a lien is, let me. Okay, hold on a second. A lien, a right to keep possession of property belonging to another person until a debt owed by that person is discharged. The Father is dropping a lien on their spirit. That's what this is about. And they're trying their damnedest not to pay. I mean, you can imagine how difficult it is for the Father to do that to a people who never had a lien put on there. They always had an opportunity to get out of it. Now they can't. Just like us, he dropped a lien on us eons ago. Our spirits have been, convicted and contrite for a long time, holding up, you know, under the weight of the Father's lien spiritually. You know, it was heavy. It was heavy on us. Now that we've come into our free will and our free agency to make a decision to choose which way we will go this day, now that, you know, we paid our debt. He's discharged our debt. Now, that doesn't mean that it's over. Like, now we debt-free. No. Because we can, you know, we live in a debted society. So debt is really all we know. We've never seen a society based on righteousness, on free will. We've only seen a society based on debt. Go to your job, make this money, if you can, and pay these debts. Get this materialism, pay these debts. And that's why, you know, when the tables turn and the exchange of situation is upon us, as it is now, we're starting to see cracks in the China cabinet, cracks in the concrete, cracks in the foundation of the nations, of the heathen, of the Gentiles. And it's funny, I was this dude who, mind you, I thought, and it was kind of tricky, but he said some things. He was like, you know, he was like, I know who the people are, and, you know, I understand it, and, you know, Judah is such and such, and, you know, Judah was, you know, everyone's not Judah. And I was like, okay, you know, I like that. I like it. Then turns out, after I liked it, another one of his little videos came up. And he was talking about how he was chastising the Hebrew Israelites, how he was putting them down. I put down many of them. And I was like, and the funny thing is, while he's doing this, while he's saying this, he's eating like a dog, just eating. I put down many of them. These Hebrew Israelites go off. They are totally, you know, just destroy the gospel. They don't know what they're talking about. And I was like, oh my goodness, this heathen is really trying to act like he is someone he is not. And he went on to gloat and boast about how the Negro is not the Jews because they are of Ham, who was scattered all over the earth. And I was like, what the heck is this guy? So I said, what do you mean scattered? And so I was like, what do you mean scattered? How is Ham scattered? And his logic, and this is why they have a lean on their spirit, because they are unable and not allowed to break down scriptures. He's talking about Ham was scattered when Nimrod, the Tower of Babel. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, great. And crickets. I even broke down. I just gave him a verse. I went to Ezekiel and showed him how, you know, Israel's going to be scattered. Crickets. That's why, you know, we see the error in them as we see the error in ourselves. That's how we are able to see the error in them, because we can see the error in ourselves now. We can see it in ourselves. We can see it in our family. We can see it in our friends. We can see it in strangers. And the only reason that we are able to see it is because we are cleaning ourselves up. We are fixing our own errors. Some of us, you know, shadow work is a process. It is a continuing process. It never ends until it's time for it to end. It's just like what I do now for a living. You know, I was on the residential side of mortgages, and I had, and the Father had blessed me with going for, you know, nothing to something. So when I started in that, you know, there's no schooling to learn how to be an underwriter. There's no schooling. It's like the Masons. You got to know somebody to get you in, and you got to go through the hoops and ladders and all that. And so I got in, started from nothing. The Father humbled me. I was a processor. I was, in the closing, but not really a closer, but just a higher end processor. You know, he humbled me, laid me off several times just so that I can move forward. Every time that he laid me off, he gave me another position, all the way from a processor in Louisiana, where it is highly racist in its corporate setting to a VP of underwriting in North Carolina, okay? And then they laid me off. And now the father gave me another position, all praises, on the commercial side of things in servicing. And now, and I was having a conversation with my manager today in the elevator on the way out. And he was saying, you know, he was saying about the interview is like, you know, I try to let people understand and be very honest with people about the position. He said, and this is why I said what I just said. He said, because this position never ends. I just looked at him and said, yeah. And it was so profound that it just stirred my spirit in a positive way. And I was like, yo, that's real talk. That position never ends, but that is the epitome of what's going on today. Now, we say never end, right? I mean, he said never end, but, you know, of course it'll end when the father says so. So I wasn't tripping on that. It was just the fact that, you know, here's a situation where the father had put me into giving me positions in corporate banking that I didn't go to school for, mind you. I went to school for history in corporate banking to get into a position that in the minds of the industry never ends. Never ends. And so as I begin this, I'm going, you know, I'm like going on my fourth week. And I'm like, man, it never ends. You finish one task, that task is not over. You're on to the next task, and that task may resurface again. And I'm looking at this like, wow, is this not the Father showing me how to sort myself out as I learn this position? As I learn me, he's showing me that I put you in a position so you can also learn yourself and learn others. So I was excited. I'm still excited. I'm like, wow, this is something that is just beyond me in terms of faith and blessings. And I'm very grateful of it. And that's just a small testament of where the Father's brought me out of. You know, I've seen a lot, ups and downs. I've gone high and I've gone low, really low. And each time I can attest to the fact that the Father has brought me out of it and brought me up. Even me kicking and screaming. And he still brought me out of it, brought me out of my depression, you know, brought me out of a place, a state that is highly oppressive, brought me to a point where I now get my free will back. And, you know, I'm not mistreating people. I don't talk to people rudely. I'm not out here trying to, you know, cut people every chance I get. I'm not out here trying to shuck and jive either. I'm out here being me. And every time I look around in this world, I keep seeing the exchange of situation, especially over the last 6 months. You got, you know, my brother Yaquab is heavy on the third testament, heavy in the book of true life. Me too. I'm studying too. But that brother is about it. And I'm about to step my game up as well. And I was trying to get on this teaching that he had taught on the I thirst. You want to go check that out. I thirst. I think I shared it too. If I didn't, I will tonight. But I thirst. This is an important piece of our maturation. Because a lot of people get stuck in the 66. And the 66 is great. It's a great foundation, but by no stretch of the imagination could we believe that the books the Gentiles compiled is the infallible word of God, the infallible word of our Elohim, all there is. I mean, considering he said, let the worthy and unworthy have these books and seal the rest up to the end. And so if you just take that concept and you go, well, there's these other books. Well, those are the books that he's unsealing every step of the way. In particular, you know, the Inquisition books. We all learned about it, but we didn't learn about it. It was glossed over. Just like slavery, just like the civil rights, just like Jim Crow, just like redlining, just like colonization, colonialization, imperialization, glossed over. All we get is the perspective of the winner, and the winner has been the Gentile. It's in particular, it's been the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European. And I mean, that just is what it is. That's not being mean. That's just calling it out. That's just saying what it is, because Ham ain't gained. They already gained. Ham has gained. They got their land. They are nations. They have their history to some degree. True, their resources being pillaged, but they're still in their land. True, they are poor, but hey, that was part of their deal. Ham and Canaan, that was part of their deal. Nimrod. But Shem was the one that was going to be below Ham. So I said to this guy, I was like, listen, because this is where I'm at. All these Gentiles, all these heathens, all these nations want to come against me, come against us, come against the Father, our Elohim. And they always want to tell us, oh, Shem is this and Ham is that. And finally, you know, the Father said, just say this. I said, okay. He said, just say, hey, you need to. It may be better if you deal with Japhet. You concern yourself with Japhet and what's going to happen to Japhet and his descendants. Don't worry about Ham and don't worry about Shem. That ain't got nothing to do with you. That's none of your business. Your business is Japhet. Again, gloss over Japhet. Everybody want to be Shem, or they want everybody to be Ham. They either want everyone to be Ham and then be Shem, but nobody wants to be Japhet. Nobody want to talk about Japhet. Nobody. Crickets. So when we begin to sharpen our double-edged sword and use it and wield it righteously, these are the questions that need to be asked. Poignant. They are indicative questions that begs the answer. And it's going to shut their mouths because they have built their whole premise on being someone that they're not and telling us to be someone that we are not. And at the end of the day, telling us who we are. How can I tell you who you are? By what right do I have to tell you who you are? That's the same premise of the trans people. They tell the world, don't tell me who I am. And the world's going, oh, well, you know, I mean, we can't say nothing about that. We need to, you know, these are good people. They need to do this. They need to do that. But yet when we say, hey, you know, we are of Israel, they got problems. That's why everybody want to be Judah. Nobody wants to be Israel. Or yet, everyone want to be Israel, but don't nobody know what tribe they from. Oh, I can tell you I'm from Judah. How do you know this? It's in my spirit. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But what about Israel? Well, Judah's Israel. No. Israel is Israel. Judah is Judah. Tell me what tribe you're from. It's the same question and point that I ask these brothers and sisters who say we're only from Africa. What nation are we from in Africa? Stop with the Africa madness, because Africa is a continent. I'm from, it's just like they go, well, you're American. Yeah, but I'm from Maryland. That's where I grew up. I'm not American that I grew up in South Dakota or Illinois or Florida or Louisiana or Mississippi. No. Because even within America, we all have our own hierarchy of states. So where in Africa are you from? You know, you can use that same logic in Europe, because those are all nation states, right? So I'm from France. Well, you know, if you're from a borough in France, then you are French, right? A small country, therefore you are French, you are German, you are English. But when you get into continents, they want to say, well, you're African American. Well, wait, where in America are you from? And where in Africa do you say we're from? See, that's the hiccup. This is where they didn't think it through all the way. This is why you know they are a foolish nation. Because they are so full of tomfoolery that they had us, this is the joke, they had us acting like Thomas of Foolery when they are the kings of tomfoolery. The kings of it. That's why now, you know, we're moving so fast into, you know, what's a Steve Miller band, you know, time keeps slipping into the future. This is where we are. This is the Negroes slipping into the future, but not without acknowledging and understanding our past, not without repenting for our past and our forefathers' past. This is why you know who's who at this time, because the Gentiles and the Ishes and the Indos and the Germans will never, never repent for what their forefathers have done. Never. That's written. That's scriptural. Well, I didn't own no slaves. It doesn't matter whether you did or didn't. Did you benefit? Well, I didn't benefit. I didn't get it. Yeah, okay. All right. So you still don't want to acknowledge what your forefathers have done. You call yourself white. You say everybody's either white or black. So if you're white, then that would put you in the same category as the white people of the past who's done something wrong. Oh, no. Well, you put us in the same classification of people in our past. Same classification, because if you didn't, we wouldn't be still considered slaves. You would have acknowledged slavery as a wrong and fixed it, just like you did with the Japanese, just like you did with the Ishes, just like you did, still doing with the Ishes, just like you did with those Siberian people, even though all that is tomfoolery and trickery. High sorcery, straight bamboozlement. But this is why things have come full circle. This is why brothers and sisters are out here. Like, we were hard in this walk, still are, but we were hard in these scriptures. We sat back and went so hard in these scriptures because we wanted to know the truth of the scriptures. I mean, we will never know the truth until the kingdom come. the absolute truth until the kingdom come. But we sought after the truth. We sought after Yahusha. We sought after Yahuwah, our Elohim. And we've been rewarded for that. And the converse can be said for them. They didn't even seek after their Jesus. They didn't even seek after their Pope. They dismissed their Jesus. They dismissed their Pope. Why? Because they were riding high in the friendly sky. Now all of a sudden, all hell is breaking loose spiritually on them. We have come into the spiritual warfare that has been written about. This spiritual warfare is something that is intuitive. It's innate. There was always going to come a point where you were going to have to battle psychologically your own self. I mean, isn't that what we do every day? We have to psychologically deal with our own actions. However, the nations never did. They never had to deal. I mean, think about it. You could drop two atomic bombs, and never have to deal with no recompense. Never. You know, you can drop some paper, some green paper on these people and let them live lavishly, you know, but not too lavishly, but they could live lavishly, but they never really dealt with how evil, the atrocity in that. They never dealt with that. Just like they never dealt with slavery, but they dealt with that Holocaust. They dealt with their Holocaust. And listen, whether it is or is not, it doesn't even matter because they dealt with it. They haven't dealt with anything else. Any other atrocity that they put forth, they've never dealt with. But they'll tell you, well, you know, we gave money, we gave land. That's the point. You don't have the authority to do that. You shouldn't have done it in the first place. And then because you did it, you think that because you can get money and keep the reward, the land, the people, the money, that you're doing something, that you've repented without even acknowledging what you've done, the horror in it. It's just like now, you know, where is Ish? They, you know, like I said, they are the highest per capita. They are shot up with this booster. They boosted up. They tranquilized up. They poisoned up. Now, here's the question that begs an answer. If they are the people of the book, if they are God's, if they are Elohim's chosen people, why would they think it necessary to be boosted up? Wouldn't they have just prayed that plague away? Wouldn't they have just went to their Elohim, their God, and said, let this cup pass me? And your people? And again, this ain't chastising them, even though it could be. But it ain't really about them. It's about us. This the proving grounds, if you will, the court, the documentation, the validation has to be shown, has to be laid forth. It's got to be laid out so that the truth can be evident, so that people can make a decision. And Ish is a big part of that. But they ain't really, they are really of no consequence to our walk. But they have to be exposed. That's what he said, 2939, you know, Revelation 2939. They have to be exposed, just like the rest of them. But they've got to be exposed first. That's why they quiet. Because again, how are you so scared of a plague that you didn't even confer with your God, chosen people? You got the fear. You had all these people all these people so scared that the first thing that they thought of, well, that's what the father said, I will give you over to a reprobate spirit. So everything that happened to us can happen to them, or has and is and will happen to them, because they were in such fear that he gave them over to a reprobate spirit. Why? Because they have to be exposed. This world that we live in is quickly imploding. And it's imploding in a spiritual way. You know, they're so fearful. They're so scaredy cats, because they'll go, oh, World War III. Okay, so be it. What you going to do about it? It was already ordained. I mean, it's funny because when I first was getting into this, one of the things that I read, let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Oh, shoot. Hold on. Pardon me. You know, one of the things that I read that really stuck with me in terms of prophecy was Albert Pike, right? Albert Pike. I'm sure many of us know who this degenerate Caucasoid Bama heathen is or was, you know. But he wrote about the world wars. I'm trying to find it. I see his old cantankerous, whack-looking, degenerate sub. You know, he's probably stink. And that's the other thing. These people are not clean. That's another spiritual situation, that you can look like you're clean on the outside, but you're not clean on the inside. So when they were coming into their blessing, they would be filthy, stank. Maggots. I was here. Like the wigs that they would wear would be full of maggots. They put it on. They didn't care. They wouldn't clean. They wouldn't wash. And yet they were sophisticated. They were sophisticated. And yet we were the savages. As we were always cleaning ourselves, always trying to be clean, although our actions were filthy, we had to go down for that. And we did. And it would only make sense that people would say, you know what, these people have gone through hell and back, and look at them now. These people there must be something with these people. The logic is that these people have come from nothing to something, and they strong as hell today. And these, just somehow, a god in their mind, I'm speaking Gentilese, a god is blessing them or has blessed them, because we put them down. And so like that degenerate was saying on his little social media thing, we all been putting down. I put down many a Hebrew Israelite. This is their mindset. Dude, put them down. That's what they did in the three parts. That's what they did during the Inquisition. That's what they did when they came over to the fourth part. This is what they've been doing. They've been doing it, and they couldn't, after they couldn't do it no longer with the sword, they did it with the mentally. That's a spiritual warfare. That's a spiritual warfare. Mental anguish, fear, spiritual warfare. They run around talking about the devil, the devil, the devil. What they don't even understand is the devil is them. The devil is the human. The human does things based on spirit, good or bad. Psychologically, this is called, or in the Gentile world, this is called bipolarism. So you can look and see that these people are bipolar. You know, when things was good, shit, couldn't nobody tell them different. Their 80-year-old mamas and grandparents, you couldn't tell them nothing. I talked to my dad, and he was like, yeah, you know, our people couldn't even walk on the, our brethren, my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather could not walk on the same street as white people, so-called. They couldn't eyeball, they couldn't look at them, they couldn't do, and somehow this is righteous. And then they'd be walking to church, to their abominable church, thinking of ways of how to eat a brother, how to hang a brother, how to slice and dice a brother, how to rape a child, girl, boy, a woman, how to steal, how to kill. And all of a sudden, now today, when that truth comes out, it comes out like a double-edged sword. Double-edged because as it cuts the first time, as you slice that one thing, going from left to, from right to left, chop, 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 and you come back, chop, 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 it cuts you again. Just they getting cut. That's why I'm watching them. I'm being very observant because, you know, now I'm working downtown, which they call Uptown in North Carolina, in Charlotte. So I'm working downtown. And let me tell you something. Everybody looks alike. Every one of them look alike. The brethren are the only ones that's sticking out, and sisters, right? The brethren, our people are the only ones that's sticking out. Colorful, smiles, good dispositions, stylish, communicating to each other. It's amazing to watch. A brother came to me and he was like, he complimented me on what I had on, and I said, thank you, brother. You look nice too. All good. He got in the other elevator. I got in the other elevator. And as I got in the elevator, because we were in a group, but not, I wasn't in a group. I was by myself. He was by himself. And we had a conversation in passing quickly. But when I got in the elevator, I was in this group of folks and they just start eyeballing me. And I sensed their spirit go, man, what's that about? He does. I mean, I like that. What? See what I'm saying? Like now we get to sense, like our spidey senses have tingled. Like we are on top of this. Like this is such a phenomenal time to be a Negro. Do not take that for granted. Do not take the time, this time of greatness of us, of our people, of us individually for granted. Don't get caught up in the ego of that. Understand it to be just what it is and exchange a situation. And exchange a situation. Apologize. I had to put some lotion on. An exchange a situation has occurred. And it's a strange phenomenon amongst the herd of heathen. Strange. They're like, I don't know what's going on, but these niggas, something happened. Something has happened. And we're just do going over. We look to them like they look to us, laissez-faire, right? Free. That is huge. They've never seen us free. You know, they talk, oh, I got black friends. But they never seen us free. Free to be you and me, where we can communicate even amongst them separately. That's why they were killing us in the past, because they were like, we don't know what these niggas is talking about. These niggas, I mean, these niggas can't get together. I mean, we can't have these niggas together. I mean, they've got to kill them all. I mean, that's the Inquisition. We can't have these people doing what they doing, because if they do what they doing, shoot, we can't do nothing for them. We can't do nothing against them. This is why we know today who we are. Now, we don't know what tribe specifically we are from. We have some idea. And, you know, everybody want to be from Judah. Nobody want to be from Ephraim. Nobody wants to be from Manasseh. See, everybody want to be Judah. But at the end of the day, it don't even matter. I just want to be in the kingdom. Yo, I want to be in the kingdom to come. I want to be in a righteous world. That's why this is all changed, because we woke up and we said we want to be in a righteous world, because we've never had that before. But to them, their world was righteous for them. And it was. They do whatever they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it. We're the ones that were the butt. We were the ones that were getting crushed. Stomped, stepped over, and them looking at us like those degenerate Negroes, those degenerate Israelites, because of course they knew who we were. They couldn't tell us who we were. And they still did. And now here we are. And we're not worrying about some of us. I'm not worrying about letting it be known. See, that's the thing. Like, we're not supposed to be out here pontificating in the streets, out here, you know, browbeating, cutting these people, telling them who we are, not, you know, running around in all purple, looking all, you know, dapper. Like, this is the way. We're not supposed to do that. That's a mark on us. The Father is, when the time comes for that to occur, we'll be in the kingdom to come. We'll be there. Or in route, close proximity. Right now, we haven't even gotten to the total ass-whipping destruction of the nations yet. So there's still much to do. There's still much to do. But we can only do what the Father wills us to do. Like, if we're doing things outside of the will of the Father, then we're going to be punished for that. That's why I always say, he said, let me just get it. I mean, because everybody, you know, everybody gloss over this too. Everybody. First Peter 4:8-19. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? See, that in itself is where we at. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of our Elohim commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Well-doing. Not, I got faith. I love Jesus. No, well, you got to be doing something in his will. We'll read that again. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So who cares? They are of no consequence in our walk. Now, like I said, the books have to be opened. The documentation has to be opened. Things have to be revealed. Okay? So as it's being revealed, they have to be judged on that. But as it's revealed, we can't be judging them. This is the Father's judgment, his recompense. We ain't got no, we are just the clerks of the court. He says, hey, go bring this to remembrance. He says, I'm going to bring this to remembrance. So you bring this to remembrance. You bring that to remembrance. And the heathen's like, wait. Wait, there's more. There's more. Yeah, there's more. Hold on. Go bring that to remembrance. This is the father, the judge. We're not judging him, but if we turn around and open the books and go, yeah, they should be, the father judges us. That's why he's saying, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, because we can't get in our own ego against them. They are literally of no consequence, literally like a spittle. He told us that. So what do we fight? We fight against principalities in high government places and high places. So yes, we have to fight against their churches, their doctrines. We have to fight against their beliefs, their poor understanding. We have to fight against their materialism, their capitalism. We have to fight against these things. And that doesn't mean we have to pick up our sword and start fighting. No, that means we have to fight our own desires against these things. That's what this is fighting. See, and again, when you read for understanding and overstanding and understanding, you have to understand that the fight has always been our spirit versus the world's spirit. And it's and we can be overcome, as we have been, when they separate us. When they separate us. When the Father separates us, he separates us as a collective. When they separate us, they separate us as the individual. Get some water real quick. That's why we come back together. That's why as we are being separated spiritually, we are being reconnected physically. I mean, you know, this YouTube community is vast. And, you know, I feel like I know a lot of people on it. You know, I've never seen them. I've never spoken to them, but based on their walk and the communication via chat and some comments, you know, I feel like we're connected. I feel like that's a whole, I can feel the energy of the collective. I can feel that. You know? And that's a new thing. That's a new phenomenon for all of us. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one. I mean, I keep seeing, you know, these people, these nations always want to dismiss what we're saying. And as they dismiss it, we still say it. And as we keep saying it, what does that do? That manifests it. They don't understand the manifestation of our people. When they had us in fear, all we were trying to manifest was how to be safe, how to stay out of trouble, you know, how to be on par with them, how to gain in their world. That's what we were manifesting. And the Father gave that to us for a time. Now our manifestations is the kingdom to come. And how does the kingdom to come? Come, but through us, because the temple is in us. That's why over the last few years, they've been talking about, oh, yeah, you know, especially the issues. Oh, the Messiah, our Messiah is back. Really? Where is he now? Where is he? Oh, they're going to build the, you know, no. Oh, the red heifer's been found. Where is he, this red heifer? Oh, the temple. They're about to build a temple. Where is this temple? Are you going to build a temple and you are boosted up? I mean, you can't even make this up. How are you going to pick up a shovel? How are you going to build the temple of the Father of the universe? The Most High, the Elohim, Yahuwah. How are you going to do that if you are boosted up. Your temple is filthy. How you gonna do it? I'm interested to see you do it. Matter of fact, why don't you do it now? Because why not now? All hell's breaking loose. Wouldn't this be a perfect time for you to have built your, have your little red heifer, sacrifice it, have your little Messiah with you, with his reading glasses, with his glasses on, come out and, you know, ordain you all to build this third temple? Well, why not do it now? It's a perfect time. It's a perfect storm. It's a brewing. It's ready. It's needed. The temple is needed. Why don't you build it? And hey, you Christian Catholics, why don't you guys call upon your Jesus, your earth pig, and have him save you from this? Go ahead and rapture you out. Take you away from this. Why don't you do this? This is a perfect time. This is the perfect time for Hindus. Why don't you guys get on Shaba, and go ahead and get them to, get it to do whatever it's supposed to do. You Mongol fools over there, foolish nations, why don't you guys call on Buddha? This is the time for the nations to put up or shut up. This is it. They need to put up or shut up. Move, itches. Get out the way. Why are you stopping our ascension? I mean, that's, you know, and the funny thing is that we have to be humbled enough to not browbeat these people who are hanging on us to keep us down. We just have to push them out. We just have to move them out of the way and keep it moving. Matter of fact, what I do and what I think in terms of how it's been shown to me is for me to dismiss them. Dismiss their logic. You know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Well, good. How's that working out for you? You know, Jesus. Listen, I'm not mad at you and your Jesus. Do you and your Jesus over yonder. I'm not involved with that. That's fine, though. I'm not here to say you know, you have to believe what I believe. If not, I'll cut you down like a dog. That's not who I did. That's not me. I don't have any power. That's the thing. The Negro has no power to do the things that was done to us, to them. That's why we just move out the way. We are the matador. They come running up here like a bull. We vole out the way. Here they come with their logic. Olé! Out the way. Here they come with their white Jesus. Out the way. Olé! And then we step out the way and let our Father put them swords to them. Cut them. The more we step out the way and don't engage their folly, the more. And it's funny because brothers and sisters in our walk are speaking directly to brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in this walk is speaking directly to brothers and sisters. So our communication is to brothers and sisters. Now, if that is a cleaving Gentile, who has in their heart, in their spirit, have said they are, or they want to be part of Israel, then we're speaking to them in a righteous way. But we're speaking to them in a righteous, we're speaking to our nation or the Negroes in a righteous way so that as we do this, it convicts the nations. It convicts them. You know, and you got some Negroes out here who's like, yo, I got, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, if you don't do it this way, then you're going off. See, no, man. No, sister. No, brother. That's not how this works anymore. That is a Christian ideology, to be led by a man. Now we get to be led by the Spirit, the righteous Spirit, Yahusha. That's all it's about now. We're in the third phase of this world's condemnation. We're in the third phase. And in the third phase, you know, those that can cleave to the Spirit connects to the Spirit and gains the download and gets the reward. Meaning we don't have to be led by a person anymore. Now, we can get confirmation from each other. We can get, you know, revelations from each other. We can get wisdom from each other. We can get proper righteous acts from each other. But we don't have to be led by each other. The Spirit's doing just fine. The Spirit woke up. Ain't nobody wake up on their own. Didn't nobody go, you know what, shoo, I'm going to wake up now and I know who I am. Didn't nobody do that. Nobody. I don't care who. Well, I woke my nigga, please. You lying. Because the Spirit woke you up. So if the Spirit woke you up, let the Spirit lead you. Why do I need to be led? Why do you need to be led? Why do we need to be led by a being, a person, a physical person? That's what I was trying to expound on last week, but my mic was off. I didn't do the mic right for the first part of my lesson, and it came out all garbly goop, and I chose to put on the second half of it and just put it on because it was a positive word. It was a positive word to follow, but it was, and the funny thing about last week was the Father said, yes, do it this way, and I said, okay, and I did it, and I looked at it, and I said, that's not right. I'm going to do it. I got to do this. And then finally, halfway through, the Spirit said, take that off. So I took it off and I was like, hopefully that's right. And I started and it was right. And I should have done it from the get-go, but I didn't. I did that. That, you know, but I was told to do it the other way. I didn't do it. So the first half of my lesson was not audible. So that's why that was that way. The week before I was trying to put on, you know, a little music because this is where we are. The choice is yours. You know, you don't have to, you have the choice to choose. You have the free will. We have free will. See, the Gentiles don't want you to have free will because they think if you have free will, you won't choose them. So they mock free will. You don't need no free will. Ain't no free will. Free will to what? To kill? Because that's their mindset. What we're saying is free will to love the Father. To love our Elohim. That's our free will. Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may go and worship their Elohim. But what did the Gentiles do? They wrote, oh, just let my people go, Pharaoh. As if there was no reason to gain free will. It was just a haphazard free will. I just want, let my people, Moshe, let my people go, Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like, what? Why would I let your people go? Just let my people go. But they never finished that. Let my people go so that they can worship their Elohim. Now that makes sense. Again, this is all common sense. This is how the Spirit works. The Spirit works in common sense. It's just like the righteousness of Solomon. and this just came to my mind, but I was talking to my brother the other day about this, and this is what came to my mind. When Solomon sat there and listened to those two women argue about whose baby it was, and the one woman, he probably already knew innately, spiritually, that the one woman was a liar, but he let it play out, and he then came to the recollection of, from the Spirit, this is the righteous thing to do, cut the baby in half. In his mind, he's saying, if I say this thing, then that will show me who is who. This is how the Father works, just like today. He said, if I show you this thing, if I wake you up, then you will know who is who. But the heathens and the Gentiles, they don't want to be woken up. I'm happy just where I'm at. I don't want to know who's who. I'm good with knowing that these Negroes is Negroes and me being European. I'm good with that. But wait, the Negro's not good with that. I don't care about what the Negro's good with. There you go. Then that's the woman who said, cut it in half. Cut that baby in half. This is what the nations are. That is the prime example of what the nations are. Cut it in half. Cut it asunder. Kill it before it grows. Kill it before it grows. So what? He had to shoot the sheriff. This is where we are. We are shooting the sheriff. We are winning the war, family. We're winning the war. Don't think for a second that we lose, and the moment you believe that we're losing, you lost, because we ain't losing. This is not even, and maybe we don't, you know, I'm going to use the MLK. Maybe we all don't get to the promised land, okay? But we still in the war. We still will win the war. Maybe we don't see it physically, but in the spirit, we will be in the kingdom with a new body. So just know that we win in this war. This war, as a matter of fact, the war was already won, and the war was set up for us to win. It may have seemed drab for a hot sec, because we had to go through some beat down. We had to lose some battles. We had to lose some major battles, matter of fact. We had to let the principalities, the Father had to allow the principalities to believe that they were winning. So when he put in his last charge, which is the awakening, he's gonna have them push back. It's just like they did to those Germans. The Russians was coming from the east. The Americans and the French and the English were coming from the west. Had them cornered on all fronts. This is where we are. We got them cornered on all fronts. They can't do nothing. They can't say nothing. They can no longer be. This is where we're at. They can no longer be. Their spirits are vexed. And every book is saying so. We didn't even have books. That's the other thing. We didn't even have no books. We had scrolls. There was no books. That is a heathen. And they did that because they wanted to control the knowledge. So as people were coming in with scrolls, they were going, all right, I'm taking that. And they went in there and they start compiling them in their little dirty, stank Vatican, hiding everything in there. I'm sure all of our scrolls is in there, all of them. The ones that they could get without burning, and they probably even got copies of those from ancient times. Or from medieval times, I should say, of ancient works, of our ancient works. I'm sure of it. Like that resonates in my spirit as a absolute. And they're perplexed. How do these niggas know this? And they keep lying. They keep lying. That's why they're being plagued. That's why they're being struck down. the physical beauty, the sorcery of their beauty is waning. Their music, they're giving all they can in their music, but it's gone. Their voices are gone. The songs are gone. The creativity is gone. That's why they having a those people on strike over there in Hollyweird. They're all on strike. Their creativity is gone. They want to say, well, we want to get paid more. No, it's because there is no more creativity out of you. So Hollyweird was like, yo, you ain't giving me nothing new. There's nothing new. And they're like, well, we need to get paid more. That's an absolute. We know that. That's why they striking. That's why they coming back. That's why they bringing back these ridiculous old shows. Airing reruns because they trying to keep their status up. Old man Joe looking like hell rolled over. Pelosi, all these old baby boomers, Caucasian baby boomers, these baby boomers in leadership, not our people, not our baby boomers, not our boomers. No, not ours. Ours, look at us. Look at our boomers. They look like they 60, 50. We're talking about their boomers. Their boomers are the cause, the root cause of their demise today. Because their boomers could have sorted this out. They could have, when they were kids, they could have said, nah, we're not going to permeate and perpetuate racism against, we're not going to maintain the power structure of racism and hatred against the Negro. They could have done that then, but they didn't. Matter of fact, they went all in. Hate them niggas. Hate them. And now, look at them. They're struggling. I'm watching them. And, you know, it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs. You know, it really is. Because if you look at the American boomer, we ain't even talking about the European boomer or the North African boomer or the Asian boomer. We're talking about just the American boomer. They're struggling. And I'm sure if we really take a deep, not even a 3-foot pool dive into the shallow water of the boomers around the world, you'll see that they all are struggling. They either struggling physically with an ailment or they're struggling mentally with an ailment. And those that are not really connected to these boomers of that time. They were maybe the ones that went against those boomers, still alive. You know? I mean, we're seeing the fall of the revived Roman Empire, and it's a marvelous thing. This is why it's happening, because we get to see it. We have manifested it. Our spirit, our ancestors, our forefathers, the spirits that were destroyed in righteousness, they are all here in us saying under the altar of the Father. This is the earth is under the altar of the heavens. So all the spirits in us, outside of us, around us, is screaming for justice. That's what this is what the world has not understood. We don't give a rat's ass about any equality. We don't care about that. We don't care about, being on par with them anymore. That was my father's generation. What we care about is straight up, straight down justice. That's it. Just us. Justice. That's what we want. That's why I was talking about the four horsemen, because that's what I was given. And I know some people may think differently. Okay, it's fair, what have you. But at the end of the day, if we just look at how things are playing out, the black horse is us. All the other horses have been white, pale, and red. And there's only one horse that's black that's bringing, and all the other horses were bringing death, destruction, the sword, conquering. And the black horse is bringing justice, balance. You can't even make this up. But of course, they took it out of order, and I read that. I'm gonna read it one more time. I'm not gonna go through the whole thing for time's sake, but I'm gonna read this one thing on it because this gets overlooked. Gets overlooked because again. Boom. So we're talking about the horses right quick, and I'm going to end with this, not to keep everybody long, because I know everybody like, yo, you talk too much. But nevertheless, this is all I got to say. Okay, so okay, so Revelation 6, 1 through 5 is all about three beasts, okay? Three beasts. You've got the white beast, the three horses, but the three beasts, okay? So you got the white horse, the white horse, and one of the beasts. Okay, the first beast and the first horse, the white horse. Then, just let me read it. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." One of the four. Okay. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Again, Alexander the Great. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. There's your papacy, your dumb diversity, your manifest destiny, okay? And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst. Now watch this. This is the key. Because we just finished talking about three. Now it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, because when you go back up here, where is it? So we're talking about as it were in the very first one, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, okay, then it comes down to, six, because now we're going in, you know, one of the four beasts, talking about one, two, and three horses, and one, two, and three beasts. Then it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou not hurt the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. See, that kind of doesn't equate to a proper order. It's out of order. And again, out of order is synonymous with the heathen and the Gentiles. And I know some people be like, "Ah, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about." But this is just what keeps coming to me. This out of orderness with these heathens and these Gentiles. They even showed in their revelation, because this is showing the from the perspective of the wicked, not the righteous, the wicked. So they even in their pontification of their revelation still were out of order. I know some people say, no, that ain't true. You know, I know that it's different. It's fair. I get it. I'm not even tripping on that. I'm just tripping on the fact that there's three horses that are pale, white, and red, and there's one horse that's black. And now today, we Negroes who are supposed called black are bringing balance and bringing justice. That's a magnificent thing. And there is going to be no other horse. There ain't going to be no pale horse after this. Ain't going to be no pale horse coming with the sword. After you bring justice, after justice and balance comes, why would there be another horse that's coming to do, what did it say? To give it, why would, that doesn't even make sense. Why would the Father give, after he's brought justice and balance to his creation, then give the sword so that they can, what did it say? And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. That's already happened. Why would he? It's out of order. You can't tell me any different, but I respect everyone's thought processes because I just do. I mean, if that's how you feel, I mean, why not? Let it be how you need it to be, and we'll just see how it all shakes out at the end. But that's it. That's all I got. That is the lesson of the day. It is, where is Ish? Why is the heathens? Why do the, what is it? I'll end it with this. Where is Ish, and why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Elohim and against his anointed people, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. All praises to our Elohim, our God, our righteous creator, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who has woken us up, the one who gives us our cause, who gives us mercy, who gives us grace, who gives us understanding and wisdom. All praises to He who has brought us back. Shalom. Yeah.